How did he lose it?
He had to sell it. He didn't, couldn't keep it all.
Did he sell it to the bank?
I don't remember who he sold it to. I was pretty young then.
So how much acreage was he able to keep?
He must have had about 160.
Oh.
Now, I'm not sure, but I think so, around there somewhere. So, and he had quite a bit more than that, but when you lost this, why, he just had this smaller acreage.
Was there any feeling of a community around Harvard before the town? You know, around where
you... Oh, yes. I can remember my folks bundling us kids all up and putting us in a wagon or a sled or someplace and going away and staying 2 or 3 days with some of the neighbors. And they'd come to our place and stay 2 or 3 days.
And you'd play with the kids?
Mm-hmm. And we had little schools and community met there. We'd have box socials and dances.
Box socials? What are they?
Don't you know what they are?
What, you bring food?
Mm-hmm. You'd make a real fancy box and decorate it all up with pretty flowers and everything, and then the men would bid on them and buy them. And whosever name was in it, that's when they ate their supper with. The lunch that was in the box.
Hmm.
You never heard of those, huh?
No, I've heard of them, but I never heard of them being around here.
Oh, yes, we used to have them real often.
Is this thing going? Yeah, it's making a lot of noise. I don't know what's wrong. It's about to blow up or something. Now, what would happen? So was that just for single people, or was it?
Oh, everybody went.
So you could get stuck with a 6-year-old girl or something.
Yeah, it didn't make a difference. Nobody cared in those days. It was just there for fun. And they had their programs, Christmas programs and things like that. That was a long time before the railroad came through there.
There was a school at Harford before the railroad came
through? The little log schoolhouse.
So that was right on your homestead then?
It was about, oh, I think we had to go to school maybe half a month.
Were there many people in the area then?
Oh, quite a few. I can't remember how many we had in school. There was 4 of us and 2, 3 of the Smiths. 2 or 3 Howells and Hornbys, Daly's, oh, quite a few around there. They came to school. And at one time, the Chambers Flat District and ours were so hard up that they had school 3 months at one place and 3 months at the other. Their youngsters would come to our school for 3 months, and then we would go to their school for 3 months. That's the only way they could pay for their teachers. Went horseback. I don't know if you know where Chambers Flat is or not. It's down
Isn't
there.
That towards Princeton?
That's down in there where Edna Butterfield is.
That's right.
There was a little log schoolhouse there.
Do you remember much about, you know, things that happened in school, or?
Well, what happened at school?
Yeah, you know, games or anything, pranks that you pull or have pulled on you?
Oh, just the usual things that happens in school. Mm-hmm. We were kind of a just ornery kids, just like they are nowadays. I remember, we used to get the teacher to excuse us. And we'd tell the folks wanted us to come home, then we'd take our horses and go up into the woods and play hooky all all afternoon. We didn't tell our folks about it till a long time after we were married. We told Dad about it one day and he said, "I can get out of Nursna Lakia."
Were you pretty close to your sisters? Or
in age?
No, I mean, you know, as a family.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Families were pretty close in those days.
Did you have any chores to do around the house?
We didn't have any brothers, so we had to help with the milking and feeding the chickens and things like that. We all had our work around home. Mm-hmm. In those days, I think everybody did. My dad couldn't do it alone, so we had to help him.
Were there any, specific things that you do?
How do you mean?
As chores, jobs that you particularly had to do?
Well, milk the cows. Bring in the milk and put it in the pans. We didn't have separators in those days. So they had great big pans and we would put the milk in that. And let it set till the cream came to the top and then skim off the cream.
How long would it set?
Usually all night. Or it could set a day or two, didn't make a difference. Mother and Dad had built a cellar and covered the inside of it with cheesecloth to keep the dirt. See, it was an underground cellar to keep the dirt from falling through. And she had a big table in the cellar and that's where the milk set. She'd skim it off every day and put it in a large jar to churn. And then when Dad would go to Blues, she'd send the butter in she had made, and she got 10 cents a pound for it. She sent eggs. Butter. Loose.
Would the butter keep long?
Oh, yes. I think he probably went in butter every week.
They'd keep it in the cellar after it had been churned? The
cellar was just real cold. Just down in the dirt.
Was it under the house?
No, it was out. Just at the back door. And it sat in a bank. And I remember we kids always liked to slide down the, we'd get up there and slide off, and if Mother and Dad caught us, we were in bad. Because it knocked the dirt all down inside.
Do you remember skating in Harvard? Did you skate on the creek much?
We skated all winter. We had good skating all the time. That's where we spent all of our time in the winter time. Nights. We went out every night. And all weekends. We were never home weekends. Go down on the river and build a big fire and stay there. After they put the dam in, then they flooded the river above the dam. Boy, we had real good skating then.
The dam where?
Potlatch put the dam in there at Harvard to hold the water to drive the logs down.
I didn't even know there was a dam.
You didn't know there was a dam there?
No.
Well, it was just a small dam, you know, that the Potlatch put in.
And it was to help them float the logs down? Mm-hmm. So that was really early on they put that in there.
Mm-hmm. They always, every spring they had log drive. I can remember that real well, how they used to bring the logs down. And then when the Potlatch built this dam, well, then they could hold the water back, you know, and pull them right in the Potlatch. Easy then.
How would the logs get over the dam?
They went through. There's was
a funnel?
Gates,
oh,
gates that they could lift up.
Now where was this? It isn't there anymore.
It was on Dad's old place.
Oh, it was right in Harvard then.
Yeah, just above Harvard there. It was almost exactly where our old house sat. Our old house sat up from the river. I don't know if you ever noticed the railroad there at Harvard where the first cut is there at Harvard. Railroad cut. Well, our house sat right there where that railroad cut is, and we was just up from the river just a little ways, and the dam was right in that place. I think there's part of the dam left there now. I'm not sure.
I don't know that country well enough.
No. You'd have to go up there and just walk around and have someone tell you.
So would you have to clear the ice to get the to be able to skate a lot of the time?
Well, they didn't use it in the wintertime, you see, the dam. I think they left it open in the wintertime a lot of the time. I know one time we had good skiing there and they'd let the water out of the dam and we just had ice every way.
Oh, it really buckled. Mm-hmm. Did you fall in much?
No, but a couple of boys did. I never did fall in. One day a friend of mine and I were skating and we were acting smart. These two boys came along behind us acting like we were, of course, silly. And all at once, we got over because we didn't weigh as much as they did. And when they came along, they went in. Boy, we had enough time getting one of them out.
Why'd you have trouble?
He
kept breaking through.
Just his head is sticking out. But we finally got him. The other boy that was skating with him didn't go in. And the three of us got him out. We didn't skate anymore that day. We went home. He's still living. He came down from, he lives in Vancouver. And he came down not very long ago and I asked him if he remembered and he fell in the river. He said he sure did.
Did you toboggan much or anything like that?
Oh, yes. Right in Harvard, there was a hill that goes up where we used to live. And that got real slippery in the wintertime, and we used to slide there all day and all night.
Would a lot of kids get together? Or would there be a lot of kids doing it?
All the kids around there would come in. We had one man that lived, he came there from Minnesota. And he was a married man. He had 4 or 5 children. He used to come in and skate. He loved to skate because he was such a wonderful skater when he was. And he'd come in and skate with us kids, just have a big time. A beautiful skater.
sounds like there was somewhat of a community there even before Harvard got going.
Oh, yes. I think there always is in a little settlement, you know, where there's families. I think they more or less make their own fun. They did in those days. It'd be hard to do now because the kids wouldn't be happy with that. It'd be pretty slow for them.
Did you as a child ever hear rumors about, you know, the mill opening up or anything like that? I mean, did people get pretty excited?
About what?
About the mill and the railroad and everything that was going to happen?
Oh, I guess we were all happy when it came in there. I know my dad was very happy about it. I think everyone was. It tells you in that little pamphlet about Princeton being in there before the pilots came in.
Yeah, that I knew.
Princeton was about our only, was the only town we had around there. Clouse was the next, and it was 20 miles away. And there was nothing in Princeton but a store and a couple of saloons and I think a dance hall, a few families, not many.
They just had one store in Princeton?
And they had a hotel. I don't know if that hotel, I think it was put in after the lumberjacks, I don't know. Might have been there before the lumberjacks started coming in. I believe it was there, yeah, it was. It was Princeton, they called it the halfway house between Clouse and the Hoodoos. See, they were mining up in the Hoodoos. They'd mined up there for years and years and years. And this little town of Princeton was the halfway place. See, it was all horses then. And they had to have a place to stay. They couldn't make it in one day.
Do you know anything about the mining in the Hoodoos? Any stories about?
Well, I know they had mines up there, and I remember when the Chinese used to come in there and stop at our place to inquire the way to the mines. They brought in lots of Chinese to mine.
Do you remember any stories about anything happened? Because I remember there was a story about them.
They killed a bunch of white men, went in and killed five or six Chinese one night. And a lot was over. That's when I was just little, and I just can remember hearing him talk about it. I don't know why they killed him, but they did.
Do you know why the Chinese disappeared from the area?
I don't suppose they got enough to get them to stay. I don't think it was very rich mining in there. There were several old miners that spent their entire life up there. And they made enough to keep them, I guess. It's the only way they had of making a living.
Who were they?
Well, I can't remember their names. Edna probably could tell you. Because she, her folks used to live right up in there, close to where they mined. And she probably could give you a lot of their names.
Do you remember hearing anything of the Duff Wagner feud? Did you know what that was about? Oh.
What happened?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure, that's why I'm asking you. It's something Glenn told me that I ought to ask Edna Butterfield, and she didn't remember.
Wagner?
Duff Wagner. They were two.
Yes, I knew both of them. Charlie Wagner and Billy Duff. Yeah, I knew both of those guys. Did they have a feud?
Supposedly. Yeah.
They lived pretty close together.
Yeah, I think that's hard.
Well, I bet they would have, all right. They were pretty... Mr. Duff was quite a little guy. But I didn't know that they... There was Johnny English. He lived up in there. Did you hear about him? he was a little Frenchman. And he lived up there for years and years and years. And then, let's see, there's Billy Duff and Charlie Wagner, Johnny English. I can't think of that other man.
Were they all bachelors?
Uh-huh. All old bachelors.
Were there
several more up in there? Pete Doffner. Can't think of that one man's name. But there was... Oh, what was that old fellow's name that... He used to chew his tobacco, and then he had an old fireplace in his cabin, and then he would take the cud and lay it up on his mantle over his fireplace and let it dry, then he'd smoke it. He was price saving. I can't think of his name now. We used to go up there and visit him a lot. We'd go up there camping right close to where he was working.
Where would you camp? Where would you go up?
All up in the woods up there. We'd go up in Huckleberry for two or three days at a time. Or go fishing up in there on the river.
Would you get a lot of fish?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was good fishing in there then. The roads weren't good like they are now. You had to go in with a buggy, horses. We'd take our camping outfits and go in there and stay 3 or 4 days, maybe a week.
The whole family.
Mm-hmm. Dad would take us in sometimes and leave us in there 3 or 4 days.
Just the kids?
Yeah.
Were you ever afraid of being left alone?
I was scared. I remember one time we went up there and there was a lady from Spokane came down. And so we all went up in there and Dad took us up. He helped us put up her tent, get all fixed up, and he came home. And we stayed and went out to burying. And they was all afraid to sleep at the door, so they made me sleep there, the door of the tent. And they put the axe beside me and said, "Now if you hear a noise, hit it with the axe." We used to bed and sleep, and the little girl that was with us got up and she stepped on my sister's foot. And she let a yell out of her, and she just knew that it was a cougar because we'd heard a cougar the night before up above our camp. But it wasn't anything, so we... Everything was all right.
That'd be pretty scary.
It's pretty lonesome when you're up there, a bunch of women all by yourself.
Especially in those days when you couldn't, you know, when they were so...
No phones, you know. No nothing up there. It was a lot of fun.
Would you pick a lot of huckleberries?
Oh, yes, goodness. I used to bring them out to the tub school. We'd put the, take a great big wash tub and put it in a spring or little creek, whatever it was, handy. And then put our berries in there and they'd keep for a week. So cold. Bring them out and can them. Jam and jelly. Mm. Do you like huckleberries?
Mm. Yeah, I think they make the best jam and jelly there is.
Yes, they do. Good pie. Mm. You used to put up so many of them.
Make huckleberry juice.
It was good. Boy, it was sure strong, though. There used to be a Noel Bashett lived up above Harvard. And they called him Hobble Gobbles. I can't remember what his first name was now, or what his name was. One day, a bunch of us went up there, we kids. He brought out his Yule line. And, of course, we girls didn't drink very much, but the boys, they drank quite a bit. And we had quite a time going home. Boys could stay on their horses. Wine was sure strong.
Did most people make wine?
We never made any. Maybe lots of people did, but I don't think so. This old man did. He'd go out and pick huckleberries, make them. He lived there by himself.
Sounds like you had a pretty nice childhood. Hmm? Sounds like you had a really good childhood.
We did. Best, I think. Usually on Sundays we'd take our horses and go out into the timber and be gone all day. Run races and jump logs. We really had fun.
You each had your own horse?
Everybody had a horse. I remember one time Mother and Dad had gone to Spokane, and there were three of us, my sister and I and another girl, took our horses and we were out tearing around through the woods and we were running a race. And this girl, she had a great big horse, and he hit my sister's horse with his shoulder, knocked her down, and threw my sister off. And she had a concussion. And we didn't know what to do for her. We got her home. We got her on the horse and got her home. And she didn't come to for about 3 or 4 days.
She just laid there?
Just laid there. And we kids were all alone. Mother and Dad were gone. We didn't know what to do. So we just left her in bed and took care of her.
How'd you take care of her?
Just left her there. And we didn't have any medicine or anything, but she came out of it. She didn't know what she was talking about. She was out of her head.
When she was lying there, you mean?
Yes.
Or when she came to? You mean she'd talk?
Yeah. It's a wonder to me she didn't die. She didn't. Nowadays, they'd have you in the hospital for a month. We didn't know what to do. They're just the four of us at home. And Mother and Dad, we couldn't get in touch with them. They were in Spokane. But it sure scared me. She came out just fine. When the folks got home, she was okay.
That seems unusual for them to, you know, did they go on trips like that often?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. We had lots of neighbors, so it wasn't. And we could do the chores just the same as they could. They had to get away once in a while. Kids knew how to take care of themselves those days. There wasn't anybody to baby you. You had to look after yourself.
Did you all learn how to cook and everything like that as you grew up?
Everything.
Did you learn how to, would your mother teach you how to sew or would you learn?
She taught us. And I always did hate to sew. I never did like to sew. My sisters, all four of them were good. They could just really make anything, and I can't sew at all because I didn't like it. Just hated sewing, I still do.
Do you remember any of the things that that your mother used to make that are really different than, you know, things that we do now?
Mother was a wonderful cook. You mean in the cooking line?
Oh, anything like that. Yeah.
She could do anything. She made her own soap and she made everything. Did all of our sewing. And she didn't have too much to, you know, to work with. Of course, she had all of her own butter and cream and milk and cookies and shortcake, and she used to make the most delicious biscuits, baking powder biscuits.
She had baking powder. How'd she remember all that in her head if she didn't use any recipes?
It's just natural in those days, I guess. They had to remember. When the Potlatch was building the railroad through Harvard, that was the end of the line then. They hadn't run it clear through the Mobile yet. And Mother boarded these loggers, things that came in there. People that came up the end of the line came up there to eat. And we'd have, oh goodness, I don't know how many we would have. Mother fed them. And she cooked all the time. She was really busy. I remember having to help.
Do you remember much about the laying of the track and the building of the railroad?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, that was quite interesting.
Did they have a camp near Harvard?
They had camps all along the railroad. There was a big camp right down across the field from where we lived. I know I used to go with Dad to deliver milk. He furnished the camp in milk. I used to go with him to deliver it. So I remember that quite well.
What kind of place did they have set up for the...
Tents. Great big tents.
Were there a lot of men working on the railroad?
Yeah, it was quite a camp. I don't know how many of it. To me, it seemed big.
Do they work right through the winter? Or no,
they surely didn't. I don't think they could. I don't remember, but I don't think they could. Snow got too deep. They might have, I don't know. But I doubt it. Of course, it could work from early spring till late in the fall. Probably a few months it didn't work.
Can you tell me the story of how Harvard got its name and you know, how they picked the site for it?
It's in that thing.
I know, but I just want you to tell it, you know, as you remember it.
Well, I know they, when they put the town in there, or when they put the depot in there, why, they wanted to, they were talking to Dad about it, and they wanted to call it Canfield. And Dad said no, that he didn't want it named Canfield. And he said, let's call it, he said, the Harvard's right down here, or Princeton's down here about 6 miles. He said, let's call it Harvard. So they did. And then when the Camp Laird was put in up there, they wanted to call that Canfield Park, and he wouldn't let them do that either. He said, no, Mr. Laird had helped so much on the park, said, call it Laird Park. That's what it's supposed to call.
Now, did he donate the land for the town site, or?
Dad did, I don't know how much, but it was all on his land.
And he just gave it to them?
There was a hotel, livery stable, and a store. I guess that was all, a blacksmith shop. Mm-hmm. And a few houses. And a depot. And there was a boarding house there.
In addition to the hotel?
Mm-hmm. There's a French lady came in there and she had a boarding house. She boarded a lot of men. And then they built a new school, brought it down closer to Harvard.
Who would stay in the boarding house? Would it be the loggers? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was lots of logging around there then. That was all new timber in there. They put a railroad track through my dad's field up into the way back in the timber and brought out the timber. They had hired a little boy to keep the cattle out of the field. And my sister and I went up there and we played up there all day with this little boy. He didn't want to stay there alone, so he'd stay up there with him.
What was he was supposed to keep the cattle?
From going in the field. You see, the railroad went right through the field.
Mm-hmm.
And the cattle in those days were turned loose out on the range. And there wasn't someone there to watch them while they were all in the field. So he kept them out.
Were most of those loggers single men that just...
I imagine they were. Oh, I suppose there are a lot of married men. I don't know.
You didn't get to know them very much.
Oh, I knew a lot of them, yeah. There was quite a few young men came in there from, Minnesota and Wisconsin and all those eastern places, you know, where they did so much logging. And my brother-in-law was from... what's the name of that place? Some place in Wisconsin. He's just a young man. He came out here and married my sister. And then my oldest sister's husband came from Minnesota, I believe. So there's lots of people came from the east to work out here in the woods.
would they come out here and then would they try to make the area their home once they got here?
A lot of them, their parents came. I know my sister's husband, his parents came. The whole family moved out.
Did all those businesses that you mentioned in Harvard, did those get going right away? Did they just start right up?
I remember building them. They got them up pretty fast. Of course, they weren't much to look at after they got, but they held the people, and fed the men. Hotel was pretty good size. I think there's 3 floors.
Oh my God. Who stayed there?
The men. And they had camps out around Harvard, and if they went to went out on the train or anything when they came back, well, they'd usually stay overnight before they'd go out to camp, because the camps were quite a ways away, a lot of them.
So there weren't that many people. I mean, the loggers wouldn't just stay there and work out of the hotel that much. What did the store have that was in Harvard?
Oh, it had everything in it. Whitaker and Steele was their name, that I will forget them when they first came in there. Whitaker's had a family, and Mr. Steele was a single man. They built a home there. Whitaker's did. They was there several years.
Did they sell, what, groceries?
Oh, they had groceries, and they had a lot of hardware, you know, that everyone would want around there. It wasn't a great big store, but it had a lot of stuff.
Were there any saloons in town?
We didn't have a saloon in Harvard.
No? Why not?
I don't know. Whether Dad kept them out or what. Maybe he wouldn't let them have a lot, I don't know. But anyway, they started one after Harvard was, oh, a long time after Harvard started, and they were going to have a saloon in there, and I don't know whatever happened to it. It never did materialize, I don't think. I never knew
it. But did your father have control over what went in there?
I don't know. I don't know why it was. I don't suppose he did.
Was he opposed to drinking?
Yeah, he never did like drinking. Princeton had 2 saloons. 3, I think.
Did your father ever give a reason? I mean, what was his reason for why drink was bad?
I don't know. He never liked it. He never drank himself, and he didn't like to be around anyone that was drinking. But of course, I suppose all these men, when they came through Princeton loaded up, I probably didn't keep it out of Harvard. I know when the train stopped there at Harvard, was that was the last town before the railroad had gone on through. And these men had come up from Palouse and Potlatch and Princeton. They'd all be drunk. And the conductor would pull them off and lay them on the platform at the depot and let them sleep it off until they could get up and take care of themselves. I've been down there lots of times when the platform was just full of drunk men. Lying there, all dead drunk.
They wouldn't pick them up in town and take them out there, would they?
They just let them stay there and lay, slap it off.
No, I mean, they wouldn't. Would they pick them up from the towns?
You know, no, they'd get on the train. They'd get on the train. Be drunk by the time they got up there. They probably had to help them on too in some of these places to get them off there.
Do you remember any of the celebrations that you know, that people had, you know, 4th of July?
Oh yes. We used to go to Princeton all the time to their celebrations till Harvard got started, and then we had them up there.
What would you have? You know, what would
be? Oh, they'd have speakers come in from different places, and they'd have dances and races, and they usually had a parade with a few floats in it, and just an old time celebration.
What would they make the floats out of?
Oh, it was usually on an old wagon made of bunting, they called it then, and have kids riding on it. I know I used to play for the dances. I played in an orchestra and...
What did you play? What did you play?
Piano. And we'd play... We usually had about 2 or 3 days of it. We'd start in the afternoon, play till time to eat, and then to start again and play till way up in the night, or way up in the morning, and then go home and sleep a little while, and go back and start in again.
This would be for the 4th of July?
Hard work.
What kind of music would you play?
Oh, we had waltzes and foxtrots and square dances. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's quite a thing. I remember one time Dad built a great big open-air pavilion. And we played out there. That was nice. It was cool out there. Right.
How many other people would there be in the
orchestra? Oh, 4 or 5. We had violins, and Dad played the trumpet. And we had a railroad man that played clarinet. Quite a bunch of us.
Did you learn how to play the piano yourself? Did you? You taught yourself?
Well, yeah, you might say I did. I had a few lessons when I was about 9 years old. I think I had 6 lessons. Learned the notes. But my dad was quite musical, so he could help me.
Did you play at a lot of the dances that...
I've played all my life. Ever since I was about 12 years old, I played for dances.
Would you get any kind of pay for playing?
Oh, yeah. I always get paid.
Did they pass around a hat, or would they pay you ahead of time?
Well, usually, for big dances like that, well, they had a price. But I've played for lots of dances where they passed the hat.
How'd you keep yourself from dancing when everyone around you was?
I couldn't ever get away. when the railroad went through to Bowville, we went up there every Friday night, I guess it was. We played up there every Friday night for years, and we'd get on the train at Harvard at 6 and take about an hour to go to Bowville, and we'd start playing about 8 and play till about 5 in the morning, and then we would go down and the train would be ready to pull out, and it'd pull out at 7, and then we'd go home on the morning train. No sleep.
This was
at all.
You and your father, right? Where would you play up there?
They had a big hall up there. There's a fellow who played the violin from Harvard. And my dad and I, and there was usually or maybe some musicians from Palouse around play with us.
Who would be the women who would be in the dances? I mean, there weren't that many women around Bullville, were there?
Oh, there was then, when the railroad went in. Mm-hmm. There were lots of homes in there then. People moved in there pretty fast after the town started. they had a quite nice little town there, and they had bank and they had lots of stores, and it was a real nice little town.
Were there ever any fights or any trouble in the dances?
I don't think I ever played for dance in my life. There wasn't a fight.
What were they fighting about? Or do you remember any
just
of the fights?
Drinking.
Oh.
Get to drinking, and you know, your feelings are awful easy to hurt when you're drinking. Someone would touch you while you'd hit it. I don't think they knew what they were fighting about.
Did they ever get pretty big?
The fights?
Yeah. Okay.
Not like these you see in the movies.
Okay.
It's usually just two. But there's always fights.
Was there still a lot of drink around even after Prohibition went in? You know, after
Yes. That didn't stop it. Gee, when I lived down in in southern Idaho, down around Cascade and down in there. There was still in every house, I bet. And it wasn't as bad then as it had been. They said every place along that railroad there was a still. And I believe it. That was quite a good place down in there. I don't know if there was ever much moonshining right around in here or not, around Harvard and Princeton. I just don't know.
I think there was some.
There could have been, but...
Whether you ever saw Indians very much when you were young?
See what?
Indians in that area.
Oh, yes. We've gotten up lots of mornings when we were little kids, and we had a little field right up from the house, and that would just be full of Indians digging camas. They took that root, made flour out of it, I think they said they used to. Dad never said a word, he just let them dig. The fields were just blue with that camas in those days. I don't see much of it anymore. But they'd come in there and never ask for anything, just go in and get it.
But they just set up camp right out in front there?
No, they just dig it and go. Then they'd go to their camps, wherever they were. They didn't stay up in here too much in the wintertime, you know. So they didn't have any permanent camps up in here. They would come up in the summer and fish and hunt and pick huckleberries. But their winter camps were down around Lewiston and down in that country where it was warmer, not so much snow.
You never had much dealings with them yourself? Or?
No, I was scared to death of them. Why, I don't know. But I just didn't want to be around them. Daddy, he always liked to talk to them. And they liked Dad, very friendly, but I was just scared of them. They smelled funny. They smell smoky. Yeah, I was afraid of them. But they were very friendly. I guess my grandmother used to have quite a time with them down at Potlatch when they first come in there. They'd come to their place and they'd want everything grandmother had. They'd want to take this, they'd want to take that. She had quite a time with them. But we never did have trouble with it.
Oh yeah, there was something else. Do you remember, did you go into the sale days at the Merck? The Merck and
Potlatch?
Yeah.
Always. Never missed one.
What were they like? I just heard.
They were quite a celebration. They'd have these big sales and they'd have lots of drawings, you know, and different things. And I remember one time they had gave a good prize for the biggest family, not in numbers, but in weight. And there was one family there, oh, they were a big family. The boys were big and the girls were big, and they took the prize. I never will forget that. Oh, yeah, we used to have some big times there.
Did they have pretty good sales that everyone
went
in?
Yes, they did. And they had biggest crowds. Everybody from the country, the trains ran in there then and in Potlatch. And everybody from up around Bobo and Derry and everybody would go down there. They'd run a special train at night, take them home after the dance was over.
They'd have a dance?
Oh, they always had a great big dance. We'd always go down on a train, usually. We'd go down in the morning and then come back on that late train, a bunch of us kids. We'd have a lot of fun.
I want to ask, was your mother ever afraid when your father was away in the
I imagine she was. I know she always had the shotgun where she could get it pretty handy. She had quite a life there. I bet she was frightened to death half the time. I know one time she had the office time with a neighbor's old bull. She was milking cows, mother was, and she would, we had a lane that went out quite a ways to get out to the pasture. And it was an open lane so that this old bull could come in there. And he'd come in and he'd herd our cows and wouldn't let them go out the pasture. He'd make them stay there all day. And mother was just about half afraid of him. She's afraid to go out there and take after him. So she got her shotgun, and she went out there and she let him have it. And he took off and he never did come back. And this neighbor that he belonged to, he knew who did it, because he knew that mother's having trouble with him, and he was kidding mother about it. He said it took him a long time to pick out all the shot out of that old boy. They didn't come back anymore. She must have had quite a life. I imagine she did. But she didn't seem, couldn't have been too badly frightened, because we kids never felt it. I think if she'd been terribly frightened, we'd have felt it too. But she didn't.
Was that was the way your father earned most of his money?
Well, later on then he started to log, and he didn't have to do that.
He logged his place, or he worked?
Logged. I remember him logging with oxen.
That's what he started with.
But he didn't use them very long. They're so slow. I remember one time going up in the woods and watching him log with the oxen. That's the only time I remember, just that one time. And after that, well, then he got horses. But he did a lot of logging then. And then he worked in some of the lumber camps too around. And then one time he went out and worked in a shingle mill. And he lost his finger. Cut his finger off. This one. And he was just learning to play the violin. Trying to learn to play the violin. So that stopped. He was playing the violin. Well, in those days, you didn't have to have too much money. You raised everything. You had your meat and your, all your cream and butter and milk and things like that. About all you had to buy was salt and sugar and flour. And I remember when they used to take in wheat and trade for flour.
Would they get back white flour?
They done that not too awful long ago. I remember people doing that, trading their wheat for flour.
Did your father grow much wheat?
Well, he had his own cattle and his pigs and chickens, every kind of meat there was.
I said wheat.
Oh, wheat?
Yeah.
Not too much wheat. He did a little, enough for his own feed, but mostly oats, I think, when he first started. But then after he got more land cleared, but then he raised more wheat, raised some peas.
Did you have an ice house? Did you have an ice house? You did.
Always. Dad put up lots of ice.
Where would you cut it? Where would you get it?
On the river. He'd get some men and they'd take the sled and go down and cut it. Great big blocks and be about that thick. And put it in the sled and bring it up. They buried it in sawdust. And it kept all summer. And then they had the, well, just like your refrigerator is now, it would be cold in there all the time. It was lined with enamel and had shelves in it. And that ice in the top came, melted as it came down. It melted and went back and dripped in a pan underneath. And if you didn't forget it, that thing was running over all the time.
Where did you keep that? Right in the house?
In a pantry. Mm-hmm. So we thought we were just real lucky when we got that.
Oh, you didn't have that in the early years.
We didn't have electricity in there at all. Oh, goodness.
That needed electricity in an icebox?
Yeah. It was just ice.
Yeah.
I don't know when electricity came in here. I don't remember when the REA came in. You?
Mm-mm.
You probably someone has told you, but it hasn't been too long. It was.
I don't know when it came into Harvard, when Harvard got electricity.
I don't know either. I know Dad got, it seems to me like they had it before Dad died. And he died in 42, I believe.
Oh yeah, they would have had it before then. Mm-hmm.
They had electricity on him before he died because he said that one time that he, when he went in there, there was nothing. There wasn't even any roads that you could hardly travel on, mostly trails. And he said everything came to him. The railroad, everything. Telephone, electricity. And he was fortunate that way. I don't know why he ever took up a homestead up in that place when there was lots of land out around Palouse and around to there he could have taken. But he liked it up in timber. It was pretty up in there then. Just solid timber. Beautiful. My mother and dad were married. He went out on a horse and married her, and she had a horse. And he built a little house and took her in there. And they went in on horseback, and my sister's got a little clock, something like this one, only smaller. My mother carried that. She got it for a wedding gift. She carried it on her horseback in her new home.
That was all she took?
Well, I suppose they took the rest of it later, but she wanted that clock, so she took it with her. The roads weren't very good in there then. I don't know if they had a road. Maybe it was just a trail. I don't know. That was a long time ago.
When was that that you're... I could look. When did your parents get married? When?
Oh, let's see. 80...
No, I have it written down.
85 or 6 seemed to me like it was.
So that's about... Oh, he came... That's right. Your father came from California.
Mm-hmm. He was born in Massachusetts.
Did he go out for the gold rush?
Mm-mm.
No?
He was just a kid and he wanted to get away from home. So he left. 19 he was when he came out.
And how did he end up here?
Well, he just started working around and he wanted to work on the railroad, so he was working on the railroad. And he worked out of Spokane, and when they split that railroad from Spokane to Sprague, he worked on that. And he said he could have bought all that land around Spokane for $5. There wasn't any town there then, just a little one. And here he come way up there at Harvard, homesteaded. My dad liked to be where there was lots of excitement and where there was things to do, you know. He loved that.
Was he involved in the politics of the area?
Yeah. He was very, very staunch Republican. There's his picture when he was in the legislature.
Oh, that's it. You pointed which one he was at.
This one right here is him.
When was that taken? When was he in the legislature?
Hmm?
When was he in the legislature?
18 and 19.
Do you know what his, you know, political beliefs at all were? You know, what he wanted to see happen in the county and in the country?
Well, no, I don't know especially. I don't know. I wasn't paying much attention to it. But he was down there 2 years. Mother went with him 1 year. I don't know what he was working for, but whatever it was good, I betcha.
Did he run on it? Do you know, were you around when he was down there?
Uh-huh.
You were still around. What was his campaign like? What was the campaign like in those days?
Me, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
Do you think you don't remember whether you had to go out and shake hands or anything like that?
I don't know. If I don't think he campaigned too much.
Everyone knew him, I guess.
Oh yeah, he was known all through this country. I don't think he campaigned too much. He might have a little. I can't remember. I wasn't very interested in politics.
Well, do you remember what people's reaction to World War I was? Towards the...
I remember a lot about it. What went on during World War I?
Do you mean around here or in...
Well, what we had to do and the prices of things and things like that.
What'd you have to do?
Well, you couldn't buy flour, you know. White flour. You had to...
Why was that?
I don't know. I suppose they were shipping it over, probably, for the boys. If you bought a little sack of flour, you'd have to buy oat flour and rice flour and
Did they have
a lot of
wheat?
Substitutes.
Did they have whole wheat flour or not even that?
It was horrid stuff, I know that. Mother tried to bake with it and she couldn't bake anything that was decent. And it was just awful. I don't know why they... I never did know why that they were so short on white flour. Everything was so high, too. Sugar and everything was so high.
Were there any other things that you were rationed for?
No. I guess if you had the money, you could buy it. I don't know. But I do remember about the flour because I always loved bread so well. My mother made such good bread. And she couldn't make bread at all then. She said I was the only one in the family she felt sorry for because I couldn't eat bread.
Did she use a sourdough when she made
it? She used to make sourdough.
Did she use yeast at all with it? With the sourdough or was
I
it?
I think
would
you
it
started
sourdough?
With yeast. And then you just keep it from time to time, then you don't use it anymore. She used to make the most delicious biscuits out of sourdough. My aunt did too. That's quite a thing now. A lot of the young people are going into the sourdough. I have a friend up here that makes sourdough biscuits. It's the girl. Now
he would have been the one right before Summerfield then.
I don't know.
Or something.
Oh. Anyway, they used to say that was Joe Collins. This guy wanted to kill. You know, he killed a doctor. And then he went out here someplace and was in that house. He and his mother, wasn't it? Didn't he go to his mother's home?
Yeah.
I think I knew some of his relation too, that fellow that did the killing. Wasn't his name Steffens?
Mm-hmm.
There's Kenneth Steffens here in town. He's some relation to him. And then there was a George Steffens of Harvard that was related to that guy.
Did you ever hear then of why he killed Dr. Watkins?
Well, wasn't he looking for the sheriff? To kill the sheriff?
I don't
know. I've never read the book. Mm. All I've known is just what I hear people say. And you can get some funny ideas sometimes.
So you'd heard that he was he was looking for the sheriff.
That's what I heard, that he wanted to kill the sheriff. Now I don't know if that was true or not.
Is there any reason that anyone would have wanted to kill the sheriff?
I don't know what his reason was. I don't know whether the sheriff was trying to arrest him, was he? Or what did he do?
I think he did it, you know, out of the blue, pretty much.
Well, I know, but I mean, why did he think the sheriff was after him? I wonder. What had he done before that?
Well, you think the sheriff was after him?
Well, that's what I understood, that he thought the sheriff was after him. Why did he kill the doctor?
I'm asking you. He doesn't have to ask me.
I never read the book, so I don't know. I know he did.
Most people think that she did a pretty accurate job in that.
I don't know. Oh. I don't know a thing about it, only just what I've heard.
Hmm. What was this guy Joe Collins like? Who was the sheriff?
Oh, he was a great big man. He was sheriff for quite a while, I think. Of course, I didn't know him when he was sheriff, but I used to talk to him when I lived down on Fulman Road. He used to come up by there, and he was always out in the yard, and I always stopped and talked to him. He was an elderly man, and he was sheriff for quite a while, and I understood someone to say that it was Collins that this fellow wanted to kill. Now, that might be wrong, too. Mm. I never heard him say so.
Did he ever tell you any stories about?
He could have, I bet.
Yeah, I have to run. You got along fine before that, huh?
Well, yes, and after the ball game was over, we were always good friends. We'd go to dances together and have the best time, and then next Sunday we'd be fighting again. Yeah, that was quite a rivalry there between Princeton and Harvard. And all the young people in both towns were just real good friends, but there's something about those ball games that just...
When did the teams get going? They weren't around when you were real young?
Well, no, it was. They started when I... I must have been around 18, 16 or 18. When they started playing baseball.
Would they actually have fights on the...
Oh, just... I don't think they ever fought, really fought, but they really did talk bad to each other. I don't think I ever saw a fight. Mm. Well, you get awfully excited, you know, about your team winning. And same way with all the
other
teams.
Were the
teams
pretty well matched? Or?
Yeah. Sometimes we'd have, Princeton would have a good time, team, and we'd have, and then maybe we'd have a good team. And then Bovell and Deary and all those towns, they got mixed up in it too. And then we
would you go and play them too?
Oh, yes. Yeah. My dad had a real good team there at Harvard one time. He put the whole country. My dad was into everything. He had a real good team that one year. And he just loved baseball.
What did he play?
He didn't play. He was just a manager.
Was it pretty organized? I mean, would they know, did they have a big schedule for where they were going to go and who they were going to play?
Just up and down the line there. They'd know from one week to the next who they were going to play. It's all just on the main line there.
Would they have a championship, any kind of thing like that?
I don't think so. Uh-huh. They just played win.